This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Queen delivers the teaching entitled Prioritizing the Presence. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Welcome 12 Stone and welcome to 2016, the first weekend of a new year. Excited. I love this time of year. I love this time of year because it's time we get to reflect on the past year and then look forward to the next year. And if you're anything like me, you love the clean slate, the fresh start, the new beginning. And it's usually during this time that we dream toward the next year and we think of things that we want to change, things that we want to grow in, areas we want to grow in, things we want to develop in our lives. And usually we kind of make a list. Maybe it's on the back of a napkin or maybe a legal pad or maybe just a piece of paper and you start making a list. And usually there are areas in our lives that we want to experience change, that we want to grow, that we want to develop. Maybe it's in fitness. Maybe you're thinking, well, I want to work out more. I want to lose more weight. Or maybe it's in family. Maybe you set out during this year as a resolution, you want to engage with the kids more. Maybe grow in your relationship with your spouse. Or maybe it's in finances. Or penmanship. Maybe it was finances or penmanship. But maybe this year you said, I want to save more. I want to pay off more debt. I want to make more money. Or maybe it's to start a new business. Or maybe it was in friendship. Say, you know what, I want to spend more time with my friends. Or maybe it's to take a relationship that you have to the next level. Maybe it's in fun. You know what, this year I want to have more fun. I want to start, maybe there's a hobby you've been wanting to start and you've been wanting to do. Or maybe it's to travel more. See, when we all look at the new year, we have things that we want to, areas we want to grow in. Maybe for you it's faith. Maybe you say, you know what, I want to pray more this year. I want to read. Maybe you want to read the Bible in its entirety. You go through and read the scriptures as a whole. Or maybe it's to journal more. Maybe you want to start journaling. I was going back through some old journals a while back, and I found a journal from 2005. And I opened up the journal, and on page one, it was January 1, 2005. And I started reading through. It's always great to go back through and read through, you know, old journals. And I read through, and I'm reading down through. And it was this deeply insightful and just profound spiritual journal. And I turned the page, and there was nothing. Like, I held that for one day. I mean, sometimes it's like that, isn't it? Don't look at me like that. Jesus didn't journal. All right, we'll just keep going. And so, you know, it's still this thought that caused me to buy the journal. It's the thought that causes us to start the new journal and to join the gym membership. It's you know what, things can change. You know what, things can be different. This year, we could be transformed. We can be different than we were last year. It's why we buy the gym membership. It's why we get a life coach or sign up for a group, or maybe read a self-help book. And we think, you know what, maybe that's the reason that you're back here today. It's because, you know what, you want this year to be different. And it's the belief that things can change. Let me tell you something, things can change. Things can be different. But let me ask you a question. What are you going to do when you're about 2 weeks into the commitment, about 2 weeks into the resolution, and the wheels fall off? What are you going to do when you just drop the ball big time? I mean, you're 2 weeks in to your commitment and you sleep in, you miss your workout because you stayed up till 3 a.m. binge watching Netflix and eating a carton of ice cream on the sofa. I mean, what are you going to do when you disappoint yourself? What are you going to do when you disappoint yourself as a parent or as a spouse or as an employee or as an employer? What's going to happen when you disappoint? I mean, are you going to wait an entire year to make another New Year's resolution? I want to share a scripture with you. It's one that's become one of my favorites. It's in Lamentations. In fact, I put it at the top of your teaching notes. If you got your teaching notes, you can find it there or you can read it up on the screen. It's Lamentations 3, 22 to 24, and this is Jeremiah. He says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him." I love this scripture. I love this passage, especially that part where he says, your mercies are new every single day. Your mercies are fresh every single day. God, you got new mercies every day. And here's what that means. I put it in your notes. If you're taking notes, you can fill in the blanks. It's a new year revelation. New Year revelation is how you feel about a new year is how God feels about a new day. How you feel about a new year with its clean start and its fresh slate and its new beginnings, that's how God feels about each and every day. God gives you new mercies every single day. And so when you wake up that next day, receive his new mercies. They're not tired, worn out mercies. They're new mercies every single day. God sees the potential and the possibility in each and every day. And he says, Jeremiah in verse 22 says, his love is faithful. I love this. His love is faithful. It never ends. Here's what that means. When you mess up on God, he doesn't give up on you. His love is never ceasing. And his love for you is not contingent upon your performance. You do know that, right? There's nothing that you could ever do that would cause God to love you any more, and there's nothing you could ever do that would cause God to love you any less. You need to know that. His love for you is not based on how you're doing. One of my resolutions for this year is that I want my son to stop sleeping with a stuffed animal. He's 16. I'm just kidding, he's 6. And, you know, I was just thinking, I want this to be the year where he stops sleeping with the stuff. He has this stuffed animal called Lion, named Lion, because he's a lion. And it's just, he's a real creative boy. And so he's got this stuffed animal, and he's been sleeping with him ever since he was born. This thing's just falling apart. I mean, the stitching is coming apart, stuffing's coming out, eyeball hanging out. And Lion stinks nasty. I mean, we've tried to wash him. He's just got this funk about him. But my son sleeps with him every single night. And we took a trip to Orlando over the holidays, and when we were coming back, we had this moment of anxiety, of fear that, oh my goodness, we've left Lion in Orlando. And we knew what we would have to do if we left him. We'd have to turn around and go back and pick him up, right? You know why? Because Lion is priceless. Lion is priceless. And it's not because of the shape or the condition that Lion is in. It's because of the love, the value that Lion has is because of the love that Bolton, my 6-year-old, gives to Lion. Listen. God's love for you is not based upon how well you're put together or how well you keep your list. God's love for you is based upon he is a perfect and holy God, and he loves you perfectly even when you're imperfect, and none of us are perfect. He loves us whole. Our value doesn't come from how we do or how well we keep our resolution. Our value comes from him. And Jeremiah, keep it in verse 24, he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. I love this because Jeremiah just comes out and just admits it. I talk to myself. That's what he says. He says, I talk to myself. It's just good to confess that. Can we just confess? If you talk to yourself, can you just raise your hand? Just look around. You're weird like everybody else. I mean, we all talk to ourselves. Jeremiah just has the courage to admit it, and like some of you have just had. The other day I was reading about Dr. James Gills, and he's one of the few people in the world that's done a double triathlon. What that means is that he does a triathlon, then he waits 24 hours and does another one. He's done that 5 times in his 50s. A phenomenal athlete. And they were asking him, how do you do that? Like, what's the secret to your success? He gave some wonderful advice, and I'm going to give it to you. He said, I have learned the difference between talking to myself and listening to myself. He said, I've learned the difference between talking to myself and listening to myself. He said, when I listen to myself, the voices say, you're too old, you're too tired, give up. When I talk to myself, he said, I remind myself of my favorite scripture. I keep going over that in my mind. I encourage myself in the Lord. And I continue on to finish the race. Maybe the reason that you keep giving up is that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. See, what you tell yourself matters. And look what Jeremiah, what he tells himself. He says, I say the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. He said, my hope is not based in my circumstances. My hope is not based in my changes that I'm going to make. My hope is based in the one who never changes. My hope is not based in my list. My hope is placed in the Lord. The Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is my portion. I will place my hope in him. What you tell yourself matters. Jeremiah's telling himself truth. And here's the truth. We've all got a list. And we've all got a list of areas that we want to grow, of things that we want to develop, or where we want more in life. We've all got our list. And that's great you have your list, but I want to give you one more thing. You're thinking, I don't need another thing. I want to give you one more thing, one more resolution that if you grow in this one thing, it will impact the other areas of your life. In order to get there, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 28. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 28. It's actually page 28 in the Worship Center Bible. If you have your own Bible, it's Genesis chapter 28. And we're going to pick up in the story of Jacob. Now, Jacob pretty much made a mess of things where we're picking up. We're going to look at verse 10. He's made a mess of things. I mean, he's deceived his father. He's tricked his brother. He's stolen from them. He's estranged from family relationships. His brother looked at him and said, I'm going to kill you. And so Jacob takes off. I don't know how your holidays went with your extended family, but Jacob didn't go too well. And so Jacob gets the hint, and he takes off, and he's on the run. And that's where we pick up in verse 10. And Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Now, when the Bible says a certain place, what it means in Hebrew, it just means it's a random old place, just an ordinary place, nothing real special about it, kind of like Macon, Georgia. I mean, you're just going down the road and you just get to kind of this random place on the side of the road. And he stops there for the night, and he finds a rock, and he uses it as a pillow, and he lays down, and he goes to sleep, and he has this dream of this ladder coming down out of heaven, and angels descending and ascending upon it, and then he hears from the Lord. He has this encounter with God there in that place, and the Lord tells him, verse 13, there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. This is the moment that changes everything from Jacob. This is the moment where he discovers the presence of God, where he has an encounter with God there. Verse 16, and when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. In other words, God was here, and I had no idea. Jacob reveals to us that we can go on with our lives and just go on with our lives and miss the presence of God. That God can be with us, and we completely miss it. And this is the moment, the turning point for Jacob. In fact, it was so powerful that he took that rock and he stood it up and he poured out oil on the rock and he declared, this is Bethel. In Hebrew, that means this is the house of God. This is the place where I encountered him. And then he goes on to make a vow. He says, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and he will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I may return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. This is a defining moment for him. This is where he goes from being a disappointment to himself and a disappointment to everybody else to actually moving forward into his potential and fulfilling the destiny that God has for him. And listen, God did not change his external situations right there in that moment, but God changed Jacob because Jacob lived with an awareness of his presence. And so if there's one thing that I could pray for you, one thing I could hope for you, then 2016 that I believe would change the other things in your life, it would be this, and this would be my prayer, that you would grow, and if you're taking notes, that you would grow in the awareness of the presence of God. Oh, what a difference it would make for you like it made for Jacob, that you would grow in the awareness, in your awareness of the presence of God. Because God's presence is progressive, and here's what that means, that as you're aware of his presence, his presence progressively changes you. Progressively changes you. You will be a different person 12 months from now than you are today if you'll prioritize his presence in your life. So how do you prioritize his presence? How do you seek his presence? How do you grow in your awareness of his presence? I want to give you three real practical things you can do from this passage, from this story. How to move from disappointment to an awareness of God's presence. The first one is remind yourself what God has said. Remind yourself what God has said. Remind yourself of the truth. Let me ask you a question. Who is the most influential person in your life? Who's the most influential person? That's a great answer. To most of the questions in church, that's hopefully Jesus would be. It was a rhetorical question, but that's awesome that you answered. We want Jesus to be the most influential person, but you know who the most influential person is in your life? Chances are, the most influential person in your life is you. You know how I know? Because you talk to yourself more than anybody else. You're talking to yourself all the time. And what you tell yourself matters. What you tell yourself matters. God told Jacob, I am with you and I will watch over you wherever you go. I wonder how many times Jacob told himself, God is with me and he's watching over me. God is with me and he's watching over me. God is with me and God is for me. Listen, those words, I am with you, that's the most frequent promise God gives in Scripture. It's important that you know God is with you and God is for you. I've made that like a breathing prayer in my life. Here's what that means, is that when I'm in a situation or circumstance, maybe anxiety's kind of high, I'm dealing with some uncertainty or insecurity starts to rise, I remind myself, God is with me and God is for me. You might want to write that down. God is with me and God is for me. God is with me and God is for me. You can just say that prayer under a breath, and it is a powerful reminder. Listen, if you don't talk to yourself and tell yourself, God is with me and God is for me, then you will listen to yourself. When you listen to yourself, the voices say, you are all alone and you are on your own. And some of us have been listening to those voices for far too long. And it's a new day. It's a new year. God is with me. God is for me. We'll radically change. We need to know that we have the Father's face, that he is watching over us. I took Durham this past year in November. I took Durham to Nicaragua. He's 8, and so we went on the mission trip together. And we were sleeping in this room and sleeping arrangements, so both of us sharing a bed, and I had no idea how much that boy moves in the bed. I mean, he's doing gymnastics. He's flipping around. I got a leg up on my face. I'm like, how'd that just happen? And it's completely dark. I can't really see what's going on. In the middle of the night, about 2 a.m., I start feeling a hand on my face this time, just kind of patting around, feeling my nose and feeling my eyes. And I'm like, Durham, what are you doing? He said, I just wanted to know if you were looking at me. Said, I am now. So in the darkest moments of our lives, that's what we all want to know. Do we have the Father's face? So we know, I can make it through this if I know that the Father is watching over me. God is with you and God is for you. You have his face. His countenance is upon you. You have the Father's face. Remind yourself what is true. God is with me. God is for me. Number two, recognize what God's doing. Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. In other words, God was here, and I had no idea. I didn't even recognize what he was doing. There are two foundational truths that you got to get to recognize what God's doing around you. The first one is, God is always present. And the second, God is always working. God is always present. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Second is, God is always working. Jesus in John 5:17 said, the Father is always at work, and so am I. Father's always working, and so am I. And a lot of times we miss that God is always working around us because we're looking at the wrong things. I think it has to do with what A.W. Tozer called the secular-sacred divide. And that idea really got traction in our culture, that there is a secular and sacred divide in our culture. Here's what I mean. That we have things in our lives that we call sacred. And we say, well, Bible study and church attendance and prayer and faith, those are sacred things. And then in our culture, we call other things secular. We say, well, fitness, that's secular, and family, it's secular, and finances is secular, and friendship, our friends, that's secular, and our job is secular, and our fun, well, that's secular. Hobbies are secular. But that's not how God views things. See, when Jesus came, he gave his life for us so that we could get in on life with God, so that we could walk with God, so we could experience life with him. And he tears down this divide between sacred and secular, in that all of our lives are viewed by God as sacred, so that we could experience his presence and his power in every area of our life. And our fitness is sacred, and our family is sacred, and our finance is sacred, and our friendship is sacred, and our fun is sacred, and sex is sacred, and work is sacred. Our hobbies are sacred, so that everything in our lives would be sacred. And I think one reason we don't experience the presence of God and his power in the way he wants us to is because we whittle down our expectation of experiencing him to an hour-long service on a weekend on the footprint of a building. And listen, your Heavenly Father wants more than weekend visitation. He wants full-time custody. He wants you all the time. And he wants you to experience his presence and his power all the time. And so when we do this, it makes life an adventure. We experience his presence no matter what we're doing. And so if we're making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the kids for lunches, well, we're praying for the kids as we make those sandwiches. And now that becomes sacred. And when we're making a spreadsheet at work and we're in Excel, we're making the spreadsheet, now we're doing our best work for God's glory. And so now that becomes sacred. And when we're making the bed at home, we pray for our spouse, and now that becomes sacred. See, all of life can become sacred when you're at the grocery store and you see somebody in front of you and you have this compelling sense that, you know, I should bless them or I should help them. It turns into an opportunity to be a blessing. Become sacred. When you're in traffic on 85, it becomes traffic on 85. And there's but even that can be a time of worship. Oh, dear God. You know, there are moments and opportunities all around us become sacred. And you know this. You've experienced this. We give out thousands of these envelopes. We experience this as a church. Thousands of these envelopes, thousands of you took these. And when we're walking around, if you're anything like me, you're walking around going, okay, God, I know you're always present. I know you're always working. How do you want to use me? How do you want me to be a blessing to somebody else? With the reverse offering, flip the script. And so we're all looking, we're going, okay, God, how can I get in on what you're doing? And you say, well, yeah, I did that because that's the Lord's money. That's God's money. Of course I'm going to be careful with how I spend that. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. There's not sacred money and secular money. It's all his. What would it be like in 2016 if you lived your life with that heightened awareness of, God, what are you doing around me? And how can I join you in what you're doing? See, the Father is always present and the Father is always working. And when we seek to recognize what he's doing, we grow in our awareness of his presence. And then number three, taking notes, remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. Verse 18 says, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar and he poured oil on top of it and he called that place Bethel, which means the house of God. See, Jacob took a tangible object and he stacked stones there as a reminder that that was the place where he experienced God's presence. A while back in 2015, I was running one afternoon. I was at the park and I was about 3 miles in on a trail. And I look up ahead, and about 100 yards ahead is a guy just walking through the woods. He's kind of randomly walking. He's not on a trail, just walking through the woods. And I was like, this is a little odd. Never seen this before. And then I realize that our timing is going to place us at the same place at the same time. And as I get closer, I recognize him. A friend of mine that I've known for 8 years. But I could tell by the look on his face that something was bad wrong. I said, what's going on? He said, man, it's crazy seeing you here. He said, about 3 months ago, my mom died. He said, I just found out this morning that my wife has had an affair. He said, I just went for a walk. And he said, I stopped praying after my mom died. And he said, I just need to know, God, that you haven't left me. He said, I'm walking through the woods. I'm a couple miles in, just in the woods, and like 6 deer just come around me, just encircle me. He said, I've been hunting deer my whole life. I've never had them come to me. I've always had to, and they just, he said, God knew how to get my attention, and they just stood there. And then by one, they just kind of left. He said, then I kept going about a mile later, and I come up, and I see you. And we could just tell it was an appointment that God had set up. And we prayed together. I'm telling you, we experienced God's presence in a powerful way in that moment. And after we finished praying, we knelt down and we picked up some rocks and we stacked up some rocks together. And we made a stacking of some rocks. And we said, this is the place where you experience God. And God changed my friend that day. He didn't change his external circumstances, but he changed my friend. I saw him a couple weeks back, and he pulled out his phone, and he showed me the lock screen on his phone, and it was a picture of those rocks. He said, I have this as a reminder of that encounter with God on that day. It's important that we remember well. I don't know what it means for you. Maybe there is a place that you need to go back and take a picture of where you encountered God's presence, for you to remember well. Maybe it's for you to get a verse that's spoken to your heart and for you to print it out and put it up on the wall. Maybe it's for you to go. Maybe there's something that's tucked away, a symbol or a trinket or something that would be a reminder, a tangible reminder of an encounter that you have with God, with something that God did, with his faithfulness in your past, and you need to remind yourself of his faithfulness in your past, his faithfulness that will carry you into the future. Remind yourself. And Jesus wants us to be reminded well. In fact, he tells us as the church, for 2,000 years, he's told us, I want you to do these two things. I want you to practice communion and baptism. Baptism will be a reminder that God is for us, Communion is a reminder that God is with us. And when you practice communion, you say, I want you to remember me. And in observation of baptism, I want you to remember what I've done for you. Maybe it's been a while since you've observed in those things. Maybe it's been a while since you've observed communion. We'll celebrate that together today. Maybe you've never followed him in baptism. And it's the time for you to say yes to him. 2016 would be your year. It's powerful to remember. Jacob, in Genesis chapter 35, he takes his boys and his family. And this time, it's decades later. He's got a wife and he's got kids. He takes them on a road trip. And they get close to Macon and they pull off the caravan over on the side of the road. He gets out and he walks them in this field. And he goes and he just kneels down. And he starts stacking up rocks. They're like, what are you doing, Dad? He said, this is Bethel. This is the house of God. They're like, Dad, those are rocks. He's like, they're not just rocks. He said, because I was once a manipulator and a cheat and a liar and a deceiver. And I had messed up every relationship in my life. I had disappointed myself, disappointed everybody who knew me. But it was in this place right here that I met God. It was in this place right here that I was aware that God is with me and that God is for me. And we're back here today because God is faithful. He has given me a hope and he has given me a future. And he's restored things with my brother. And God's done wonders with our life and with our family. This is where I experience God. It's important that we remember well as a church. It's important for you to remember what God has done. It's important for you this year to recognize what God's doing around you. It's important for you this year to remind yourself of what is true, of what God said. Because I believe if you grow in awareness of his presence, there are a lot of things that can be on your list, but if you grow in your awareness of his presence, he'll impact every other area of your life. Can I pray with you? Would you bow your heads? God, as we enter into this year, there's a sense of the possibility and the potential and the things that you want to do in our lives. But God, the greatest thing would be if we lived with a greater awareness that you are with us and that you are for us. So we thank you for the ultimate demonstration of that through Christ Jesus, that you gave your son so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be set free, so that we could be made whole. And you've given us your Holy Spirit to dwell in us, God, so that we're not alone and we're not on our own. And so I pray for those in this place this morning who have been buying into that lie for far too long, that this would be a different year. That you would open up, God, their realization, their awareness, God, that you are with them and that you are for them. And I pray that in the midst of disappointment, God, when we disappoint ourselves, when we disappoint others, Lord, they would have such a sense of your grip of grace on their lives, God, that you don't give up on us and that you love us whole. Father, I pray for hearts this morning, some who have strayed from you in 2015 and have regret and have forgotten about you, maybe forgotten you for a while. God, would today be a fresh remembering that if we celebrate in baptism, we celebrate in communion, that we would remember well. And as we remember well, what was once real would become real again in our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue in celebration. 2,000 years, Jesus said, church, I want you to do these two things, communion and baptism. And in just a moment, our ushers, even now, are preparing to give us an opportunity to respond to God with our tithes and with our offerings. Church, you know how to worship God with first fruits.